Okay, so today's daf is Makos daf. Today's amud that we're going to do this morning, this evening, is Makos daf. Hold on. So we're your test, right? So okay, so I think we're up to actually right. So we're starting. So the last line of Makos Yudchesim and Beis, two lines from the bottom. Okay, actually the last line. So we're going to begin our conversation with Bikurim today. We're going to spend a lot of time, we're going to talk about Bikurim. And we're going to have an interesting conversation about converts and whether converts can actually say that, Kadosh Baruch Hu promised me the land? Can converts say that Elokei Avram, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov? That's a discussion with the Bikurim. And I think we'll also have, if we have some time, we'll talk in depth about the famous debate about which Kedusha, when the land was sanctified, when Eretz Yisrael was sanctified, was it sanctified forever or just for a short time period, and the Rambam's position regarding that. And that has a lot of ramifications. If Eretz Yisrael or Yerushalayim has Kedusha, then maybe you can't go up to certain parts of Har Habayis. It may impact, is there a chiv of Trumas and Masros nowadays? So those are going to be some of the conversations this evening. So again, we're going to start with the last line in Yud Ches Amud Beis. And there, Amar Rava Bar Ada Amar Rav Yitzchak Bikurim Meimase Mechayvim Aleihem. So Bikurim, when are you chayev on them? So what does it mean when they're chayev? What do you mean when you're chayev on them? So what does it mean? What? If you but if you're eat, look at Rashi. Misa Zar Ha'ochla. So when are you chayev? So it's interesting. What are you chayev misa if a non-Kohen eats them? In other words, there seems to be this kind of rule. There seems to be like a couple of rules here. Because when does the first fruits become first fruits? When you do what? When they're ready on the tree, when you tie a string to it or a gemi or something, and you say this is, you know, Bikurim. So it has some status. And maybe you can't. Maybe there's a mitzvah saseh that now you have to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan. But the punishment, the full status of Bikurim. In other words, there's the status where okay, now it's going to be brought. It's like roi. It's fit. It has to be brought for Bikurim. And there's a mitzvah saseh to bring it to Bikurim. But they're not officially Bikurim until when? So that's the question. Until what? And when they're officially Bikurim, that's when the punishment for non-Kohen eating them is misa bidei shemayim. Okay. So the Gemara says misha yiru penei habayis. So the chiyuv is when. So what does it mean, Mishayir Pnei Habayis? What does that mean? What's Mishayir Pnei Habayis? So maybe it's going to come to the Azar. If you look in Daf in the previous Amud, Rashi says, Mishayir Pnei Habayis, Mishayikantzu Lazara, Vadochalo Ma Keves Klau. So the simple understanding, I think according to Rashi, if that's the same, right? That's just the Brisa over there. He's quoting that when does it achieve its status as Bikur? See, there are a couple points here. What we were talking about last week was at what point is a Kohen allowed to eat it? Right? There are a couple of factors here, and maybe they're related, maybe they're different. You know, we're asking at what point is Hanacha about Keves? Is Kriya about Keves? At what point can the Kohen take a bite out of the apple? I don't think of apple. Okay, right? At what point can the Kohen take a bite out of the apple? Is it when they put it down by the Mizbeach? Do you have to say the Psukim, Arami Ovid Avi? Right? And is that the same? So it seems right now we're asking, what is it the full status of Bikur to be Chayav? And the position of the Siddur Kodesh Rashi is when you bring them into the Azara, seemingly before actually you put it down, before Hadacha. I just want to point out, if you look in the Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, so I think he takes a different view. The Rambam says, Habikurim nosti ba'osad la'adshe mishmar. So the Bikurim, you give them to the people of that Kohen watch, right? The Mishmaros. There are 24 Mishmaros, 24 different rotations for the Kohanim. So you give it to the people of that Mishmar. V'heid b'chalkim osam b'neihem k'kodshei ha'mizbeach. And they divide them, they divide the Bikurim food amongst them, just like they would all the other holy food of the Mikdash that goes to the Kohanim. Uchvar be'arin shein krim truma. The Bikurim is also called truma. U'lefichav zar sha'achal Bikurim b'chol makom chayam misav de shemayim. And therefore, a non-Kohen who eats Bikurim in any place is Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. V'hu sheyochleim me'achar shenichnesu l'chol mashu Yerushalayim. So according to the Rambam, what's the location? Not the Azara, but where? Anywhere in the Old City, right? Anywhere when you reach the Old City. So the question, of course, which opinion seems to fit in better with the Gemara, I guess? Rashi, because Mishiyiru Pnei HaBayis. What's the bias? What? The Beis HaMikdash, right. It's the bias, the Beis HaMikdash. So it seems to fit in much better, like Rashi as opposed to the Rabbah. The Kesef Mishnah here sort of addresses that point. The Kesef Mishnah says, Yerushalayim, you could see. Right, okay. So, interesting. So that's what we're looking at. But you're saying that any time when you walk into any part inside the walls of the city, of the Old City, maybe you can see. Okay, maybe. The Kesef Mishnah has a different take on this. The Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam understands it differently. Kesef Mishnah says, "Ma'ase kasev u'shiochle me'achar shenichnesu l'chomas Yerushalayim be'perek elu heidalokin bikurim me'masach hayavim le'am mishiyar p'nei abayis." So the Kesef Mishnah points out that, wait a second, the Rambam says that you're chayav misa b'dei shemayim if the non-kohen eats it when it enters into your walls of Yerushalayim, but the Gemara says mishiyar p'nei abayis. It seems to be the base of Mikdash. Because of Rabbeinu b'sefer mitzvot shin lamed vav b'sefer mitzvot shalom, I'm sorry, b'simot kuf mem alef. So the Rambam in b'sefer mitzvot explains mishiyar p'nei abayis. What is mishiyar p'nei abayis? I do. When he reaches the inside of the walls of Yerushalayim, the chedir b'dvar of olcham b'simad kufla v'tes v'tab lomar, and the reason you can say, when you enter the inside of the wall, az roim p'nei habatim shebeir. That's very interesting. He says, shiro p'nei habayis. He's defining Pnei HaBayis is the houses of Yerushalayim. It's a very, like, I haven't seen that concept before. You usually think of Yerushalayim Pnei HaBayis refers to the Beis HaMikdash. There's some status to seeing the houses of Yerushalayim.
I don't know if it's connected to the famous Machlokes that
the
Rambam says
that
Mikdash
and Medina. Right, Medina means
it's whole
Yerushalayim as opposed to that. Right. Right, that's right. Right, it seems like the Rambam has a more expansive view of Kedusha. There's the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. That's interesting. But anyway, so that's an interesting machlokas. Okay, so the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Kabad ki aitana." So who is this like? Like whose opinion is this? So this is like the following Tana, or the second line of the Amud. The Tanya Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer says, "Bikurim." Biksasad bachutz, ubiksasad bifnib. So let's say you have bikurim, and some of the bikurim are outside the, some of them are outside the walls it depends who you hold like. But some of them are outside the fruit. Some of them are outside the azara, and some of them are inside the azara according to the Rambam. Some are outside Yerushalayim, some are inside Yerushalayim. So Shebachutz harehed kechulin l'chol divrehem. Shebifnim harehed kehekdesh l'chol divrehem. So this, Rabbi Lazar says that whatever's outside is considered non-holy l'chol divrehem. And it's interesting that the lashon of the Gemara seems to indicate. Now, by the way, how is this possible? How is this possible? Like, what do you mean? Some of them are here. What does it mean? You have some of them are here. Some of them are there. So you have some of the fruits inside. So right, you put bikurim where? You put bikurim in a basket. So I didn't bring the sources here, but the Ritva explains that there are two possibilities. He gives two possibilities. Whether we're talking about you have two baskets and some are inside, some are outside, and his other possibility, you have one basket. You have one basket, you have some inside, some outside. You might have argued one basket, you pick. But he said it could be with one or two baskets. And just want to point out here, what are we saying here? That if there's outside, whatever's inside, okay, so that is hekdesh, that you're chayav misa for. What do you say? If it's outside, then it's chulid? What do you mean it's chulid? What's chulid? It's totally, it's not kadosh at all. So I think what it means
Bikurim themselves are holding this,
no? Right. So in other words, he quotes here the Derech HaMuda. It's a commentary of the Rambam where he says that when it says it's chulin, it doesn't mean you could eat it. Again, what it means is that once you designate fruit or crops as to be brought as bikurim, so there's a mitzvah asay to bring them as bikurim. And if you don't do that, you violate the mitzvah asay. If you eat them, you violate the mitzvah asay. When it said, so that's chulin, it's chulin insofar as it's not officially bikurim from a status of the chi of misa. So that's what it means, it's chulin. It doesn't mean it's real chulin, you could eat them actually. Okay? So now we're going to go back to the conversation about whether kriya and hadacha are ba'akev or not. In other words, when it comes to, again, so there we talked about chiyuv misa, and now we're going back to the discussion about what is essential, is it kriya or hadacha? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshet says, Bikurim hadacha ba'kevas bahem. When it comes to bikurim, it's the hadacha. That what's essential, placing them in the azara. Before you do that, then the kohen cannot eat them at all. Kriya ein ba'kevas bahem. But simply saying a rabbi over rabbi, that's not essential. It's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. So the Gemara says, kibad, like who is this tana? Ki hai tana, it's like the following tana. Ritanya Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Shlosha Devarim Mishum, Shlosha Zekanim, Rabbi Shmuel. So there are three things that I heard from three different elders, and so he's going to tell what they are. And based on this, now there is the Gemara here is only going to bring the third thing. The first two things we're only going to hear the third thing. So I just want to tell you the first two things are the following. Rabbi Akiva says that a bechor of chutz laaretz, basically you don't bring it, but it's eaten. You eat it in its state of blemish when it has a mum. That's because the pasuk says v'achalta lifnei Hashem alkech b'mokom b'shivchar l'shakein shmo shab masar digancha tiroshcha b'shacha b'koros b'korcha v'tzodecha. So we say that what? That you only bring a bechor from Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Akiva says if you have a bechor in Chutz La'aretz, if it's a bechor that's Chutz La'aretz, so Rabbi Akiva says you eat it after it gets a mub. The second halacha is Ben Zoba says that a bechor is more strict than Maser Shedi, because there is a boundary in terms of eating it. Bechor, you have to eat it. I think, what's a bechor? I think it's one day and one night, I think. Right? Yeah. What? Yeah. And Maser Shedi, you could eat. There's no time limit. And however, just like a bechor can only be in Yerushalayim, Maser Shedi can also only be in Yerushalayim. It's two? It's like a shlamim? Okay. So, but bechor has a time limit, and Maser does not have a time limit. Nevertheless, just like Bechor can only be in Yerushalayim, Maser Shedi can only be in Yerushalayim. So those are the first two things. Our Gemara is going to discuss the third thing. So the third thing is the following. Rabbi Shmuel, my Rabbi Shmuel says, Yochol Yale Oda Maser Shedi Bizman HaZeh Yerushalayim V'yochlanu. Maybe I would say that you can take Maser Shedi even nowadays and Yerushalayim, and eat it without redeeming it. Why would you say that? even when there's no Beis HaMikdash around? Why would you say that? Why would you say that you could bring Master Shady nowadays in Yerushalayim? Why would you say, there's Rashi, look at Rashi, Kasavar, Kedusha Sa'aretz lo betela, Vitzarech lahafrish masros, Vikabar yachol yaladav yachol Yerushalayim belo pidyon. So the assumption here is that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is not batel, and you need to separate Trumos and Masros. And so now you're going to say, you eat it, you could eat in Yerushalayim without it being redeemed. And now the question is the following. Maser Sheni nowadays, what does it require? Does Maser Sheni require a Beis HaMikdash or not? What would you say? What would you think? According to this, no. In other words, you would think that Maser Sheni, it's interesting, right? Because Maser Sheni seems on the surface to be something, maybe, that's mitzvah satuluyos baretz. In other words, it could simply be in Eretz Yisrael, right? We know that people nowadays, you know, they separate, you have to separate trumos and masros now in Eretz Yisrael, because it's Rabbanu Deraisa. But the question is, what Eretz Yisrael agricultural halachos are dependent on the Beis HaMikdash? And what are simply dependent on what? Right? Just speaking of Eretz Yisrael. So the assumption here is that maybe, I would argue, that there still is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you have to take your Maser Sheni food up to Yerushalayim, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Vididhu, maybe I can learn this based on a what's called a Baba Tzidu. You could sort of use it, you could compare it to Bechor, just like you could learn it from, you could make a logical inference from Bechor, that what? That Bechor toed Havos Makom. So Bechor, so you have to bring your firstborn animal, so you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Umaser Sheni toed Havos Makom. And similarly, Maser Sheni requires you to bring it to Yerushalayim. Ma Bechor eino ela bifnei habayis. So just like Bechor, you need, it's only the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So how do you know that? Why does Bechor require a Beis HaMikdash? Right, because what do? You shech the Bechor, and you take the blood, and you sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. So any type of animal sacrifice requires a Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash. You can't do the Bechor ritual. So you would say what? That just like Bechor, it's only eaten when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So also you would say that Maser Sheni is similar to Bechor. That Bechor is so, if Bechor does not apply when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so also Maser Sheni doesn't apply when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to reject that. The Gemara is going to say what? You can't compare that. Ma lebchor shekein ton matan damim veimur legabe mizbech. No, bechor is different. Because why? Obviously, you can't bring a bechor when there's a Beis HaMikdash, when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because part of the ritual of bechor has to be a mizbech. There's no part of the Maser Sheni ritual that says you have to do anything in the Beis HaMikdash. Maser Sheni is a Yerushalayim halacha. The halacha is you take a tenth, and you have to eat in Yerushalayim. There's no requirement of at all. There's no part of any of the Maser Sheni ritual that requires the Beis HaMikdash. So how can you say that just like Bechor requires a Beis HaMikdash, also Maser Sheni should require a Beis HaMikdash? No. Bechor, because you technically can't fulfill the requirements of Bechor. So, right? So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Bikurim yochichu. So you can prove from Bikurim, because Bikurim, there's no. So again, so Bikurim, they don't require you to sprinkle any blood on a Mizbeach, right? Bikurim is just crops or fruit. So just like Bikurim require a Beis HaMikdash, so too, and if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Bikurim, so too, what? So too, Maser Sheni should not require a Beis HaMikdash. So what would you argue? Right, you're right. By the way, very good. It's a good bet. So exactly, bet. So Gemara says, "Bala bikurim shekei tu'udim hanacha." Exactly your point. That bikurim require hanacha, right? So you can't prove from bikurim or from bechor that Maser Sheni should require a Beis HaMikdash, because those two items, those two mitzvahs, have rituals specifically associated with the Beis HaMikdash, and Maaseh Sheni does not. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Tabad Lobar, so you can't prove it logically. Tabad Lobar, V'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, Maaser digadcha tiroshcha v'itarecha, v'bechoros b'korcha v'tzodecha. Right, you have that pasuk. You should eat your maser, right, and your bechor. Makish maser libechor. So there's a pasuk. What's a hekesh? A hekesh is where you have two halachic constructs that are next to each other. So what does the Torah say? You're going to eat your maser and your bechor, and they're the same pasuk. So they learn a hekesh from maser to bechor. Ma bechor edo. We compare maser to bechor. The ma bechor edo elif nehabayis, af maser edo elif nehabayis. Just like bechor is only eaten in front of the Beis HaMikdash, so too maser sheni is only eaten in front of the Beis HaMikdash. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So at the end of the day, maser sheni is learned not from a logical inference, but from a pasuk, from a hekesh. Okay? So what does this have to do with this question about... Now, remember, we were asking whether Hanacha is essential, or is Kriya also essential? Now, when our Gemara was proving that you can't compare Bikurim to Maaser Sheni, because Bikurim requires a Mizbeach. Why does it require Mizbeach, according to the Gemara? For Hanacha, and not for what? Not for Kriya. So the Gemara says, Ve'im Isa, and if you really believe that not only is it essential for you to place the Bikurim by the Mizbeach, but you also have to say that Ramin Ovi Ovi Pasuk, you need the Kriya. So then, Lifroch, Ba'li Bikurim Shkein, Tu'unim Kriya V'adocha. So it should have said what? It should have said that Bikurim is more stringent than Maaser Sheni, because it requires what? Hanacha and Kriya. The fact it doesn't say that, what must that prove? It must prove that only Hanacha is Ma'akeves, only Hanacha is essential, but Kriya is not essential. Okay? So Rav Ashi is now going to reject that proof. So Rav Ashi, Nehi di'ikuva leka mitzvah mileka. In other words, so he says, so what? So he says, okay. Nevertheless, he says, let's say according to your argument, let's say, okay, fine. Let's say at the end of the day, Kriya is not ma'akev. Kriya is not ma'akev. But it's still a mitzvah. In other words, everyone agrees that you should do Kriya. So leba mitzvah valifroch. He says, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't say... In other words, it's a question whether or not Kriya is ma'akev or not. In other words, even if you say that Kriya is not ma'akev, it's still a question as to when you're trying to tell me how is Bikurim more strict than Maaser Sheni, it still could have said Kriya, whether or not it's ma'akev or not. The fact that it doesn't say Kriya, it doesn't mean that it's not ma'akev, because even if it's not ma'akev, it still should have said it. So, Elo Baravashi... So therefore, there's no proof one way or the other. By the way, he doesn't answer that question. The Gemara doesn't answer what Rav Sheshet would respond to that, by the way. I have here, there's a Sefer Kos Yeshua, so he says that Rav Sheshet would hold the reason Rabbi Shmuel doesn't mention Kriya with Hanacha, so you should make a mistake to say that they're the same Halacha. But okay. In any case, that's not considered a proof. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Keva de'ika bikure hager, Deba'i lebebar asher nishma Hashem lavoseinu velo matze amar lo psikale. He says, no. Really, you could say the reason why Mishmael doesn't mention Kriya is not because it's not ma'akev. But you know why? You know why he didn't mention? You know why he doesn't mention Kriya? Because there are certain times that we don't do Kriya on Bikurim. That when a convert brings Bikurim, so he doesn't say a Rami Ovid Avi. Why? Because you need to say a Sher Nishba Hashem Lavoseinu, and a convert cannot say a Sher Nishba Lavoseinu because it wasn't avoseidu. It was since it's not psikale, it's not decided that since kriya is not all the time done, so therefore it doesn't mention kriya. Now when we're telling how bikurim, again, we were saying that what bikurim is more strict than maser sheni. Because like, Bikurim, you obviously need a base of Mikdash. Why? Because Bikurim requires a Mishkan, I'm sorry, requires a Mizbeach, because you need to do Hanacha. Why do you say you need to do Hanacha and Kriya? Because there are times you don't need to do Kriya. Like, for example, a convert. So that's why it doesn't mention that. Okay. That's why it doesn't mention that. Now let's just do, like, well, let's learn this as a side thing, but it's important. So let's look into this issue about the convert. It seems from our Gemara that what? It seems from our Gemara that a convert does not do Kriya. And it kind of raises the whole question in general. Like, how does the convert, when the convert davids, does he say, okay, Abraham, okay, Yisrael, okay, Yaakov? Okay, I'm going to say it, right. What does he say? Does he pretend? Does he not pretend? Like, how do you view this? Our Gemara would seem to indicate that he doesn't say anything that indicates that his ancestors were Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's our Gemara seems to indicate. The Ritva, so let's see, so the rest of the sources, the Ritva here says, V'cheva de'abrida kei lehedya b'sugya mashma de Bashma the Hechid Hilkos of the Ger Eino Kore. So the Ritva points out that it seems from our Gemara that what? That it's not, that the halacha is that the convert does it, say a Rabbi Novinovi. V'chein Hishnuya b'mishnas b'seches bikurim. And it's so it says that in b'seches bikurim, Ger maybe v'eino Kore, the Eino Yocholomar should have sought to Li Hashem. That the convert cannot say that you gave it to me. Avav Yerushalmi Amrulos Amishna Tani B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda Ger Atzmo Maybe V'Kore. So there, that's it's not. This is not a definitive position. Seems to be a debate between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi quotes Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a convert can say a Rabbi Novi Novi. Why? Matab Ki Av Hamod Goyim De Saticha L'Sheavar Hayisa Av La'Ram Vata Av L'Chol Ha'olam. So what's he saying here? What's he saying?
Universal God.
The what?
Universal God.
Is universal God, right? The God that we can all say that Hashem promised the land to Avram and many nations. So I guess we're assuming that what? What are we assuming? You think that that the convert has to be from one of these nations or? Right, that's what it seems like, right. Right, so it seems, that's interesting, right? Now, as you assume, it's interesting, when you're saying that Avram is an Av Hamon Goyim, are you simply saying, it's like when I gave the Parsha Shir, like this past week. So Rabbi Medan suggested that Avram marries Keturah, and Rabbi Medan from the Gush. So he suggests that Avram marries Keturah, he sends everyone east, all the kids east. There's 6 kids, 10 grandkids, sends them all east. Yishmael is sent south. Esav goes south. And what happens? So Rabbi Dan says that there are, I have a point to this. The Rabbi Dan says that there are 2 borders of Eretz Yisrael. Or there's 2 borders of the land that's going to Avram Avinu. In the Bris Ben Absarim, it's from Nahar Mitzrayim to Nahar Pras. It's from the Nile to the Euphrates. That's the greater Israel. And then there's the more narrow to Yitzchak, which is from Dan to Be'er Sheva. So Medan suggests that Avram was trying to fulfill his destiny a little bit by populating the broader Israel. Now there is the more narrow version of Israel he gives to Yitzchak. He sends everyone away, but everyone else is supposed to conquer this broader Israel. So I guess my point of that is that according to his take, interesting, but Avram on Goyim could mean Avraham's biological descendants that are not descendants of Yitzchak, but I would agree that probably the Ritva is saying that Avraham Avinu Sadicha is maybe the broader spiritual, any because what was Avram, right? Avram, you know, he converted the men, and Sarah converted the women, according to Rashi. So Avram's job is to spread ethical monotheism to the world, so anyone who converts is like Avram's child. That's what we're saying here. Right. So it's Avram. Right. So, okay. So, Ve'ata Av L'chol Ha'olam. Right.
What?
Ben Avram, we call it a convert, we call him up for the lead, Ben Avram, right? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar halach Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Hab uvda kame, Rabbi Abahu, va'urik Rabbi Yehuda. So, okay, so we have a machlokas Bavli Rishalvi now, not so simple now. Okay, according to the, I mean, it's just interesting, by the way, like, you know, the many converts are traumatic, they have, go through a traumatic experience enough of people, like you have these stories where the convert says, oh, they still, so many people, even after they convert, they still question their legitimacy and, oh, are you really converted? You know, and they're questioned, they feel like the other. And now, you're going to tell them, you can't say that you're, you know, you have to have a different, we have to have a sitter for gerim. I'm just saying, like, I mean, is this required, is it not required? So Yushalmi says, no, we treat him just like a regular Jew once he converts or she converts. According to the Bavli, no, he has a special language. He can't say that. He's a children of Avram. So Vidas Tosas, Chedas Rabban, Vidas Rabosai, Shaloch Rabbi Huda, Kedas Yushalmi. What's interesting is that the Ritva says we actually do not pass like our Gemara, and we pass like the Yushalmi. V'chein be'emes, I guess, Pashut b'Yisrael liyat tfila, Kishama Mishnas Mesechas Bikurim Shaninu L'Rabbanon Uchshehu Mispalel B'tzibur Omer Elokei Avoseichem. It's interesting. Uchshehu Mispalel B'nol V'natzim Omer Elokei Avos Yisrael.
Maybe that's why
you
don't have your
type. Yeah, I don't know. He says Elokei Avoseichem. Your father's. And he downs himself. He says, "Okay, Avos Yisrael." But then he says, "Vabidak shehu mispalo laolam elokei Avos Yisrael gabor." So he said, he seems to say like in Meseches Bikurim, in other words, Meseches Bikurim according to the Rabbanon, then you should say when he's davening, you say the God of your forefathers. However, the Rabban Tosa says, no, but our minhag is not like that. According to the Rabban, do that. But it seems like we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, no, you say, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Yisrael Gabor, V'zovadek Rabbi Yehuda, Shalhutzuchu B'Yushalmi, Lo Malachak Rabbi Yehuda, V'Omer Rabban Kain. It's fascinating, because it seems that we are passing like the Yerushalmi and not like the Bavli. And Lefizah Yeshlar Lomar, the Gemar Dilan, Lo Polig, Apisk, the Yerushalmi, so he wants to argue that maybe our Gemara and another Gemara is only according to Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon, but not according to Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a whole discussion as to whether as to who you're paschaling like, but the question is this a Bavli Yerushalmi debate? I didn't bring you, there's a sefer called Kerem Yoshua, which I found here in the Masechta Gemara, who says, and by the way, the Rambam, just look at the Rambam for a second, the Rambam paskins, v'hager mevi v'koresh, nemar la'avram, avam ha'mon goyim l'saticha, hu harehu av l'kol ha'olam kulo, shenichnasim tachas kanfei ha'shchina. Okay, so the Rambam passed like the Yerushalmi, passed like Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a commentary on the Rambam, I believe, the Kerem Yeshua, who says he passed like the Yerushalmi. He says, I'll bring you a proof from the Bavli that he passed like the Yerushalmi. Why? Because the Bavli says, you know, the famous, you know, the Gemara Brachos, when asked the following question, is a woman chayav in benching Minat Torah? Why would you say that a woman might not be chayav in benching Minat Torah? Right, bris Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Because a woman, there's a suffix where the woman's chayav in benching. There are certain elements that may or may not be relevant to women, and whether those elements are essential. So what is bris? What is Torah? What is Eretz Yisrael? So once you're bringing Eretz Yisrael as a possibility where women might not be chayav in benching, so who does the Gemara not ask about? Does the Gemara assume, the Gemara is a question, are women obligated in benching? But the Gemara doesn't say anything about converts. It seems obvious to the Gemara that converts are obligated in benching, and so it seems a proof that we're not following like this Gemara in Makos, and we follow like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, you know, they're treated like Yisrael, and everyone's like Av Hamod Goyim the Saticha, right? The Sefer HaChinuch writes, also, he says, they convert, they could breathe, they could say Rabbi Ovid Avi. Kila Avram Nidna Tchila, Vahu Nikra Av Hamad Goyim, Kolomar, Shekol Biskar, Nechshelo Kabein. Anyone who converts is like a child of Avram Avinu. If you go back to the Ritva, the last three lines, so he asks a question, though. He says, look at the last three lines after the three dots, the last three lines of the Ritva. It says, Vim Tobar, V'afil Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Heach Yichob Lobar, Elokei Avoseinu. How can we say Elokei Avoseinu? Dehi de Avraham Av Legerim. Fine. Avraham is the father of the converts. So you can say Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, but how can you say Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov? But Yitzhak Yaakov, by Kalavebar. V'chein le'iyan bikurim also comes to bikurim. Heach yichov likros arabin oved avi. How can you say arabin oved avi, assuming, right, there's a machlokes, what that means, by the way. What are the two possibilities? Well, see, so what, right, in the Haggadah, we understand it means that love and want to kill Yaakov. Arabin avi could also mean something else. Right. Right, so it's just the language. No, but so in other words, what are you saying? You're saying Arabi Ovid Avi, an Aramean want to destroy my father. So that's the question. How can you say my father? But I'm saying, by the way, that's what Chazal said. Arabi Ovid calls himself means my ancestor was an Aramean. Who else could that be?
Yeah.
But who else could it be?
Oh,
it could also be Avram, by the way. That's not how that got a pasket, but it could also be Avram. Like the Rashbam, I think, says Avram. Like in ours. Okay, whatever. So in any case, but here obviously referring to Yaakov. So how could you say Bikur Rabbi Ovid Avi? Because it's against Avi, my father. That's the problem. It's a language. Vishlobar, the Kibla, the Chulo Avos Kachaditu. Okay, so they're all like one. Uchte Iskash, Bekabaduchte, Vaf, Heb Nasim, Avlagerim, Kavaravido. Okay, don't get caught up in the language. Avram was the father of the converts. Avram and Goyim, he passed on the legacy to Yitzchak, who passed on to Yaakov. Don't get so crazy about it. That's
the Gerit, this is a new father. He's now a part of
No, so that's the point. No, so that's what you're arguing. In other words, that's what they're arguing. Anyone who is Miskayer becomes the child of Avram. And then we're saying, by extension, also the child of Yitzchak and the child of Yaakov. There's one other, by the way, interesting. So we have sort of two different opposing positions. We got our Gemara, which says, maybe the Edekar, you can't say it. And then we got the other approach, which says, no, he's considered like the Ben Avram. There's actually, I found another approach, the Tosus in Baba Basra, the final source of the page. He says, Limute Admas Akub, Kidnad, Elebe Vivlo Korb, Hager Beve Edekar, the convert, brings Bikurim, and he can't say, right? That's, he can't say that you gave you swore to our fathers. Right? Because he says, a convert can't lead Zimun because he can't say that line in the benching. You can't say that. So we have this debate here. Then you could say, it's interesting. If the mother was Jewish and not the father, you could still say, so the Ri is an interesting position. It's a middle position. Ri Nira, the Shapir Motzi Abarger Lavoseidu. The Ri says, no, we pass like the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yehuda, my time of the Krok, Yavu Gunda Saticha, Lishavahir of La'arab, Mikavelech Lachol Goyim, fine. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amalachar, Rabbi Yehuda, Uvda, Asakawi, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so far so good. So far we have a debate. Rabbeinu Tam holds like the Gemara in Makos, our Gemara. The Ri holds like the Rishalmi. Now here's a new part. Vahada Amar, about five lines to the bottom. Vahada Amar Perik Basra the Makos. Keva de Ika Ger Boy Lebebar Shadish Balavosedu Velo Batsiabar. But he said our Gemara, it says you can't say that Hashem promised our ancestors. You can't say it. Shapir Kiri Vesabich Allah Seslod and Sefer Nikra. So our Gemara seems to go against the Yerushalmi. And this seems to support right. You can't.
That's only you say Korea is not David. On Hanukkah is good enough. Then doesn't have to go through the whole.
No, I understand. I understand. But I'm saying the mitzvah of Korea. The question whether it's essential or not. But then he says, but you still have to do Korea. But he said v'hadam ariv Yerushalmi the main v'kore dafka ger mibnei keni chosein Moshe. The Matzavar Lo Seis Lodu should not lo chelak baris. The Chsiv Hayatov Hahu Ashiyitiv etc. Vitev Lodu. So the Rabbi Yehuda who says that a convert does kriya can say a Rami Ovid Avi, it's only a certain type of convert. It has to be a descendant of Yisro. Okay, so he very narrowly it does. In other words, he's very narrowly defining a convert, because again, he's bought. Listen, we have the Bavli. You have the Bavli, which says the Ger cannot say it. We have the Rishami, which says that you can. So either you say they argue, and you got to pick who you like. So you got right. You got one approach, which is we follow the Bavli. We have the Rambam say we pass like the Rishami, right? And then we have this interesting position here that's found in this Tosaf Bava Basra, which said they don't argue. But this halacha about the convert, it's only talking about the descendants of Yisro. A little bit. Yeah, I don't know what they do. They didn't know. I don't know. Oh, right. Yeah. Right. So the Sefta, apparently they knew. They knew who came from Yisro. So, because that was Nishba. Okay. I also saw Chaim Brisker explains that women, for example, you know, there's a shalom about women, right? Can they bench or not? I mean, can they have Eretz? They are Mufka from Yerushas Aretz. They don't inherit Yerushas Aretz. The men inherit, not women. But converts, Chaim Brisker wants to say that converts are the category of those who inherit the land, but there's nobody from whom they can inherit the land. Now, it's conceptually, that's the way things work. The women, you know, it goes by, the inheritance goes by men. So all men can inherit. Any Jew can inherit. There's just a technical issue of a convert has no one from whom to inherit. And that's what Chaim Brisker understands it. Okay. So let's try to continue. So the Gemara there, let's go back to the Gemara now. The Gemara wants to say, about 10 lines to the bottom, 12 lines to the bottom. The Gemara wants to discuss this drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. He says, V'leder dina v'teisi b'be'atzad. Why don't you learn that just like Bechor and Bikurim, right? So fine, each one individually that has a chumrah, but both of them, since they have different chumrah, since they have different stringencies, so maybe just do what's called a tzad hashava. Just say that Bikurim and Bechor require a Beis HaMikdash. So too, Maaseh Shehita requires a Beis HaMikdash. Why do you need a pasuk? Why don't you just learn it from a logical comparison from the two of them together? The assumption of a tzad hashava, and you can challenge this, but the assumption of a tzad hashava is that if Bikurim has one stringency associated with it, and Bechor has another stringency. They're not the same, so therefore that can't be the reason why it's more stringent. Now, there's Bikurim is more strict. Like, I might have argued, there's Bikurim's stringency is what? That they require Hanacha. And Bechor's stringency is they require sprinkling of the blood. So either one is not significant because they don't have it in both of them. So maybe, just like Bechor and Bikurim require a Beis HaMikdash, so also Maaseh Shehita requires a Beis HaMikdash. Where it says, no. The Mishud Dikala Mefrach, Malat Tzad HaShavah, Shebehem Sheyesh Bohem Tzad Mizbeach. It says, no. That both Bikurim and Bechor require a Mizbeach as part of their ritual. So since both of them require Mizbeach as part of their ritual, so therefore what? So therefore, So that's why if there's no Beis HaMikdash, so therefore you can't bring Bikur Mabachor. You can't learn from that logically that Maaser Sheni requires a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you're left with the Hekesh, the Pasuk, that since it's written the same Pasuk, Bechor and Maaser Sheni, the same Pasuk, so just like Bechor requires a Beis HaMikdash, so too Hekesh, but you can't use it from a logical position. Okay, from a logical argument. Now, the Gemara wants to clarify. Michael Savar, what does Rabbi Shmuel hold? Okay? Ika Savar, Kedusha Rishaita, Kitcha, Lishaita, Vikitcha, Lasid Lavo. So if he holds, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel felt that obviously Bechor doesn't apply nowadays without a Beis HaMikdash, but Maaser Sheni, I'm not sure. Right? Now, that was his question. Bechor definitely doesn't apply when there's no Beis HaMikdash, but Maaser Sheni, maybe yes, maybe no. So if he holds that once there was Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash, so then there's Kedusha even forever. So therefore, Afilu Bechor Nami. So then what would you say by Bechor? Would you be able to, do you need a Beis HaMikdash or not? No. If you believe that there is this like, that once they built the Beis HaMikdash, then all of a sudden, this area gets holiness. The holiness is never removed. So, the Beis HaMikdash, what does it accomplish? The Beis HaMikdash accomplishes Lifnei Hashem. Because what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says that you're going to eat this food Lifnei Hashem, before God. What does that mean, before God? It means you're going to eat this food in front of this, I don't know, where there's some spiritual, I don't know, energy, whatever it is, right? In this air where there's this spiritual energy. That's like the Shechita, whatever it is, right? So obviously it's there when there's a Beis HaMikdash. The question is, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, do you lose it or not? So if you hold Kidsha Rishoda, Kidsha L'Shaita, V'Kidsha L'Asid Lavo, that it's still there, so it's still Lifnei Hashem, even with the Beis HaMikdash. Once you built it, the Kedusha came and it never left. So then also Bechor should also be brought even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Ve'i kasavar, kitcha rishoda, kitcha l'shaita, v'lo kitcha l'asid lavo. However, if you hold that the first Kedusha was canceled when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the spiritual energy, the Shechina, whatever, it departs, there's no Kedusha anymore. So then, afilu bechor namiti boy. So then, you should also ask in a situation where, let's say, for example, there was zrikas dabim. So it has to be a case. It has to be a very narrow case. It has to be a case where You shechted the animal, there was a Beis HaMikdash, and then you sprinkled the blood, and then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So now you have this meat, are you allowed to eat it? Now, do you have to compare the case of the Bechor to the case of the Maaser Sheni, of the food? So the only way you can compare the case, you obviously cannot eat the Bechor if you didn't shecht it. So the only possible case is very narrow. The only possible case is what? You shechted the animal, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, and then the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. This is like a theoretical question. So what he's saying is, if you say that there is no more Kedusha, so then you should also have a doubt by Bechor. Maybe you can also eat the Bechor. And it's why we make a distinction between the Bechor and Maaser Sheni. Either it's holy, either it's the Kedusha still there, in which case you should be able to eat the Bechor and eat the Maaser Sheni, maybe. Or there's no Kedusha, and whatever you say for one, you say for the other. So the Gemara answers, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, La'olam kasavar kitcha l'shaita v'lo kitcha l'asid lavo. So really, what do we hold? We hold that there was an initial Kedusha, and the Kedusha departed. V'hocha, Bibchor shenizrak damo kodem churban habayis vecharav habayis vadayin besarokayam. So what was the case? The case between Maaser Sheni and Bechor is the following. That the Bechor, so you sprinkled the blood before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And now the meat is still in existence. Okay? So makshinan bisaro ledamo. We compare the meat to the blood. Because what does the pasuk say? As damam tizrok al mizbeach ubisarm yelach. So basically it says what? You sprinkle the blood and you eat the meat. So maybe they have the same rules. Ma damo b'mizbeach af b'soro b'mizbeach. So you sprinkled the blood. But maybe that the basar is only eaten at a time when you could theoretically sprinkle the blood. In other words, it's true, the whole ritual was done. You sprinkle, right? You shechted, you got the blood, you brought it over the mizbeach, you sprinkled it on the mizbeach. Okay, now why can't I eat the meat? No, maybe you're only allowed to eat the meat when the blood could be sprinkled. After it's destroyed, then you can't do that. So Rabbi Shmuel wanted to learn Maser Sheni from Bechor and Bikurim. And at the very end, what does he do? Makish maser lebechor. At the end of the day, he can't learn it based on a logical inference. And he has to learn it from a hekesh, that just like a bechor can only be eaten at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so also maser can only be eaten at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara asks, how can you do that? V'chi davar halameid behekesh, chozim lameid behekesh. There's a rule when it comes to kachim, that if you can't do a double teaching, because what are we doing from here? What are we learning from here? We're learning from blood to basar to maser sheni. That just like if there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can't sprinkle the blood. So too, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat the meat. So too, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat the maser sheni. We don't do that. There are rules. If we're dealing with holy food, kachim food, so we don't do a double limud like that. That's the rule. I don't know the logic behind it, but that's just the principle. So that's the rule. So the okay.
At the end of the day,
wait, what?
At the end of the day, you cannot.
No, Master Sheni, there's no Master Sheni Chiyuv Doraisa. So the Gemara answers is Master Dagon Chulinhu. So his answer is that Master Dagon is only Chulin. So we don't have that principle because basically. The grain itself is not considered kachim. It's not considered kachim. So you have blood to basar, right? Blood of bechor, which is kachim, to meat of bechor, which is kachim, to maser sheni, which is not kachim. So that the rule of no double hekesh doesn't apply unless all three are kachim. So the Gemara then wants to say, Hanicha, Lamanda Amar, yeah, all's well and good. Lamanda Amar, according to the opinion that says, Basar lo meidas lin, yeah, that we follow when it comes to that rule of kachim, you know, chulin, you know, like A to B to C, that you can't do that, that you go by number three. In other words, you learn from one to two and two to three. So, right, so maybe you'll say that rule, if you can't learn from one to two and two to three, so that only applies if number three is kachim. But lamanda amar basar malamidas linon, but apparently there's an opinion that holds you can't do the double teaching. You can't learn a hekesh one to two and two to three. As long as number one and two are kachim, then you can't do one to two and two to three, even if number three is chulin. So then how can they learn? How can you learn from dam to basar to maaser? So the Gemara says, Michael Amemar, dam basar chana bilsahi. No, it's all one thing. The basar dam thing, it's really the same. The Torah, that it's as if the basar and the dam are really the same thing. So it's not really a hekesh from the basar to the dam. He wants to say it's really the same halacha. That's how he wants to say that. Now I just want to, we only have like a minute. Just want to point out, maybe I'll say it outside. I just want to point out that this is like a whole discussion here. Because this question of kitcha l'shaita, kitcha l'asid lavo, do we still have Kedusha nowadays?
But they only talk about Kedusha Rishonah.
Right.
They talk about
right.
They talk about Kedusha
right. So the whole, there's a second question, which is Kedusha Shnia seems to be Kitcha Liyasi Lavo.
That's what we care about today.
Right. So I was going to discuss that. There's many questions. In the 19th century, when Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer thought that we could offer Korbanos nowadays because there is Kedusha. If we paschal like that, the Rambam seems to paschal like that. And Rav Etlinger wrote to him, and this is his first tshuva, the Siman Aleph. So he says that you require a Navi, even though there's Kedusha, but you require a Navi, because it says apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not accept, it says after I destroy your cities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not accept the fragrance of your korbanos. You need a Navi to tell you to bring it anymore. So there are a lot of ramifications. Can you go up to the Mikdash area in Har HaBayis? That also depends on whether there's Kedusha now or not. But you're right, we have to, all right, that's all we have. Okay, all right, very good. Bye-bye everyone from Zoom. It was nice learning with you. Hope you got it.